Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and tonight's guest are not necessarily those of this radio network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. Now lock your doors, open your minds, and prepare yourself to go
beyond the edge.
It's Sunday night. Time for the hottest alternative talk radio on the planet. Welcome to Beyond the Edge Radio. 2 hours of fascinating guests, mind-blowing topics, and stimulating conversation. All here on your home for the best alternative talk radio. This is Beyond the Edge Radio. Nervous? Scared? Don't be afraid. The wait will be over soon. Sit down, strap in, and hold on tight. You're about to be taken beyond the edge.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of Beyond the Edge Radio Live here on the Para-X Radio Network. It's Sunday night and time once again for the best alternative talk radio out there today. My name is Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's show, and we want to welcome everyone with us this evening. Got a great show in store for everybody tonight, but before we announce tonight's guests, let's announce tonight's co-host with me from Phantoms and Monsters and Astral Perceptions, Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Happy to be here.
Glad you're with us as well. And, of course, co-founder and one of the original co-hosts of BTE Radio, the one and only Fork Chop, Sean Forker, back in the house with us tonight. Good evening, Sean. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Eric, Lon. Great to be here with you. Going to have a great show tonight.
We are indeed. We've got two great guests lined up this evening, Jay Pachochin and Alan Dunsky. They are from Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators. WPIHuntsTheTruth.com is their website. Check that out. And we have a full bio on these two gentlemen, which is up on our website, BeyondTheEdgeRadio.com. That's our website. They are on the main page. You can scroll down and check out all their bio information and website links. It's all right there for you. Guys, how's your week been?
Busy.
Yeah, it's. I've been busy. I know. We just got done talking about Sean's trip to New York, and I know he's been busy. So, I've been quite busy, actually.
Oh, good, good. Sean, tell us about your trip to New York. How was it?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was my first time in the Big Apple. I was a little intimidated by, you see everything on TV, and I watch a lot of Law & Order SVU, so I didn't see any hookers or drug dealers and no bums pissing in trash cans or anything. But I did have a wonderful time. It was my daughter's birthday, so we took her for her birthday, and, of course, she spent 3 hours at the American Girl store. And after many dollars later, we walked about and enjoyed New York City, and a wonderful city, great people. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, but my feet are exhausted. Did a lot of walking, a lot of subwaying. What a good time, though. It's been a busy week, and it was a great way to end it. Happy birthday to my daughter, Alyssa. I'm going to put it out there right now. Turns 11 today, guys. My little girl's 11 years old.
Well, happy birthday, Alyssa. They grow up so fast, don't they?
Oh, my God.
Yes, they do. It's surprising. I used to laugh at my parents when they said, you kids grow up so fast. But until you have them yourself, you don't realize that your time gets time perception gets very skewed.
That it does. Well, here at BTE Radio, we're continuing to book guests for the show. We've got the remainder of January, of course, booked. And we've got February booked. Got some great programs coming up next month, as well as the end of this month, and some new guests on the show, some new things, new ventures we're going to try, and some new topics as well. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks coming up here on the program, gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're going to try.
The key word being try. Yeah. Next week on the show, our good friend, he hasn't been on the program with us for about a year. He's been kind of doing his own thing, but he is back next week on the program. His name is Scott Hackenslash Walton, and Hackenslash is his stage name, of course. Sean came up with that neat little name for him a while back, but Scott Walton joins us next week. He is our BTE pop culture and entertainment guru, correspondent, and he's a new blog contributor, guys. He's got a new blog out called Sector 3, and it's all about comic books, sci-fi, movies, pop culture, entertainment. You name it, it pretty much covers the whole gambit of entertainment news. And he's going to be on next week to talk with us about the 2014 upcoming movies, especially for the summer of 2014, some of the big blockbusters heading our way.
Well, I tune into Sector, the blog, Scott's new blog, and I enjoy it. Scott's always a wealth of information on comics and movies, so it'll be glad to have him on the show again. Good old Scott Hackenslash.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have Scott back on. Those are always good shows, and hell, everybody likes to talk about the movies. And I tell you, if it's anything compared to what it's been this past year, it'll be very interesting.
Yeah, it should be. It's always a fun time to talk with Scott, and he always brings a lot of cool information to the table, so he'll be joining us in on next week's program. The week after that, the first weekend in February, is going to be a very interesting show, a very controversial topic and subject that, Lon, you've been looking into for quite some time. We're going to be joined by a controversial researcher by the name of Butch Witkowski. He is the director of the UFO Research Center of Pennsylvania, and he's going to be joining us to talk about the Todd Cease disappearance case.
Yeah, we're gonna be jumping into the rabbit hole. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There's I tell you what, we're gonna basically do. We're gonna try to do some comparisons to the original report and update on things that we had discovered, and it'll be very interesting. And we're looking forward to getting some comments, which I'm quite sure we're going to, and which is good. Because, we're looking for information, and if people happen to have any information, we welcome them to call us or contact us.
Well, we shall see how that show goes. It's February the 2nd when Butch Witkowski joins us on the program to do a roundtable discussion of the Todd Cease disappearance case, and it should be a very interesting and entertaining program.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
February the 9th, we've got our old friend, our dear friend, Dr. Barry Taff, former parapsychologist from the UCLA University in California. He is going to be joining us to talk about paranormal reality TV and some of his latest work on how the paranormal relates to the energy fields and world around us.
Yeah, Barry, he's the original parapsychologist, basically, as far as I'm concerned. And Barry Conrad did some amazing work in the Jack Hernandez, which are very well known among researchers. So,
and I can tell already Skype is really, really acting up tonight, probably because of the playoff games. So, in advance, we want to apologize to our listeners. It's nothing that we can control on our end. It's Skype acting up the way it is. So, just have to bear with us this evening. February 16th, we've got another interesting guest coming on the show, and this man is never at a loss for words. His name is Fred Saluga. As Bruce Harrington, the creature seeker, likes to call him Interdimensional Fred. He is the West Virginia MUFON State Director. He runs the West Virginia Center for Unexplained Events and the West Virginia Mountain State Sasquatch Watch. And he has his hand in pretty much everything. He teaches classes on cryptozoology. He's lectured on UFOs and different cryptids with Brian Seach. And he's going to be our guest on February 16th to talk about all his interesting adventures and all of his research that he's conducted over the past 30 years.
Yeah, I've never talked to Fred, but I'm looking forward to.
Oh, he's a character.
Yes, he is. He's going to make the show very entertaining and lively.
Yes. Yes, he is. That's for sure.
And I encourage listeners to call in.
Yes.
And,
keep him on his toes.
And let me tell you, the man knows his stuff, so be prepared.
That he does. Then wrapping up the end of February, we've got a brand new member joining the BTE crew. She is going to be our new paranormal news correspondent. Her name is Amy Perry. And for the first half hour of that show on the 23rd, we'll be discussing paranormal news, kind of in a roundtable discussion-like atmosphere. She reads the story to us, and then we'll discuss it. And then eventually down the line, every other month, she'll be joining us for a full program as we discuss paranormal news, something we've never done before.
Now, we used to do just a brief snippet, so I'll be glad to have some paranormal news back on Beyond the Edge Radio.
Absolutely. And then in the main interview of the show, Katie Elizabeth, she is a cryptozoologist, author, and president of Champ Search, will be joining us. Our first time talking to a cryptozoologist who researches lake monsters, and in this case, Lake Champlain and Champ, the infamous lake monster that lives in Lake Champlain.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know she has research up there, and anybody that's done any of that on the show, so quite interesting.
It definitely should be a fun show with Katie joining us on the 23rd.
Definitely.
And that's pretty much all we have set up, booked right now. I'm going to be booking into March, probably in the next couple of weeks. But I can tell you that I got confirmation from Kiawani Lasparitis. He is an author, and he's claimed a 30-plus year relationship with what he calls the Sasquatch people. He's had relations with them, and he has some pretty interesting claims. And his real name is Jack Lasparitis, but he has been given the Native American name Kiawani Lasparitis. And he'll be joining us on the program to talk about his thoughts and his theories about what Bigfoot or Sasquatch is, where they come from, and his relationship with them. That should be a very interesting show, gentlemen.
You said relations.
That's the nicest way to say it.
Yeah, well.
That's going to be another interesting show.
Yeah, it will be.
Yep, so got a lot of great programs coming up in the next few months, and we'll be booking for the remainder of 2014. That's all I got for you guys this week as far as guests go. We've got a lot of events coming up, which I talked about last week, and they'll be listed on the Beyond the Edge Radio website coming up in the near future. We've got the Ohio Bigfoot Conference coming, the Butler Paranormal Conference coming, Creature Weekend, the Clearfield Bigfoot Days, and, of course, Phenomicon, which is coming April 10th through the 13th.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited. All these events coming up again this year, Eric. Seems like more and more events keep popping up every year, and, of course, we like to be a part of as many as possible. And, Eric, we're, you know, you're slowing down a little bit, which is good. Eric's in high demand, but I'll tell you what, it takes a toll on him, and he can't be everywhere all the time, but he tries. And if you ever need a good lecture, get Eric while he's still hot.
Yeah, I'm retiring.
He's retiring. And he's serious. He's serious, too.
Last year was just too much. And like you and I, the three of us discussed, this whole paranormal thing has gotten beaten into the ground so badly by so many people. And with the TV shows, the paranormal reality TV shows, now the cryptid reality shows, they're into our backyard now, and they're totally destroying any kind of professionalism involved with cryptozoology. And all the bickering and fighting, and it's gotten to be way too much. So, yeah, I'm going to take some time away. I'm only doing, as it's on the books right now, I'm only doing 5 lectures rather than 14 as I did last year. And they're going to be locally right around the Pennsylvania area. I'm not leaving the state. Going to be a couple small ones. I'm just attending as a guest and then lecturing at 3 of them, and that'll be it. And don't plan on doing any others than that.
Well, you know, you make a good point when you talk about, you know, how the paranormal and cryptozoological phenomena have really spun out of control and become these media, television workhorses. And they've really, you know, have gone up and down in the ratings. As you've seen, some shows are better than others. But what it's done to the actual research, you know, is still yet to be determined, though has mostly been black eyes to the research. Not all good, not all bad. You know, there are some gems out there. Not saying right now that they're all terrible, just some are better than others. But reality TV in general has really taken over the airways. Have you guys seen so many unscripted, quote-unquote, reality TV shows on the air before? It seems like there's a new one every other week.
Well, it's cheap entertainment. I mean, you know, basically when you have somebody that's not in the union and doesn't have to get paid scale to do entertainment. You know, the reality TV is, that's what it is.
Well, yeah, let's pay John X $10,000 an episode, as opposed to having to pay a high-named actor at $235,000 an episode.
Absolutely. You know, I've got a few actors that are acquaintances of mine, and, you know, they belong to SAG and some of the other unions, and, you know, this reality TV stuff just really upsets them, because it just takes a lot of their work away from them. And, you know, in a point, I can see that. So
yeah, it's gotten oversaturated with reality TV. I mean, from The Real World on MTV about a decade ago to Naked and Afraid to Bigfoot Bounty to, Bar Rescue. Yeah. I mean, how much more reality TV can anybody take?
Well, you know, that Survivor is probably what stirred most of it up. And it just kind of, you know, from there, you know, it kind of expanded out to, you know, of course, the paranormal, then into the cryptozoology and whatever it's going to go from there. You know, I think it's probably been good to get people, make people aware of what some people are doing or some of the more professional people are doing. But, I mean, the downside is you got a lot of people that are out there doing stuff that are, you know, it's just not really research. It's just, you know, they're just out there banging around in the woods and,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. So,
well, there's some really good shows out there, too. Like, I admitted on my Facebook page, facebook.com/SeanForker, where I was talking about my latest addiction to Call of the Wild Man.
I love that show.
Me too. And there's a lot of practical applications for some of this, too. The things you learn. And I'm not saying reality TV is bad. I love the Food Channel. I love the Travel Channel. Travel Channel is one of my favorite networks.
They got a lot of good stuff on
Investigation
Travel.
Discovery, the Discovery Channel. I love a lot of those shows. The History Channel, where they take you to these places that, you know, I might not ever get a chance to go to England or Scotland or some of these places to you know, visit some of these historic landmarks and sites, and it kind of gives you a chance to escape to those regions and areas and learn something about it. And if you're someone like me, I love to learn about foreign places and cultures and just the history. It's a good thing. But on the other hand, you know, there are those shows out there that have no practical value. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, which I've learned more about backwards. People than I ever have in my entire life, but that's okay. They're people too, and they have a particular way of life that may not be for me, but it is for them. Doesn't stop my wife from watching. It's yet to be determined what these shows on crypto and paranormal have really done positively yet. And as we talked about, well, I sent you guys a link before in the news, you know, those parents that killed their kids trying to perform an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that stupid stuff like this that everybody thinks they can go out there and be a ghost hunter. And, you know, let's be honest, okay? You can get out there, your little Sony handheld recorders you can buy at Best Buy for $29.99 and go out there and do EVPs. But unless you really know, and if you studied and read up on from seasoned investigators, there's really a lot more detriment you can do.
Yeah.
Than positive. And I guess that's the overreaching point I'm trying to make in a long-winded way.
Well, I think what really needs to be, and this is just my opinion, any kind of reality TV show needs to have some kind of clause or some kind of tagline or something put out right at the beginning of the show that this show is for entertainment purposes only, and this does not represent what really happens in the field, whether or not it is, let's say, bar reconstruction or traveling about Europe and dining on fine foods or trying to prove Bigfoot exists or trying to prove ghosts are real or UFOs. You know, there needs to be some kind of disclaimer put out in front of these shows, because the biggest problem that I have with paranormal reality shows, crypto reality shows, UFO reality shows, is it gives the public a false sense of what real researchers do. And you and I know, and Lon knows, and a lot of our listening audience knows this, that it is for entertainment purposes, and it is for a good laugh, or, you know, to be entertained for that 22 minutes or 40 minutes. But there's a lot of the public out there that thinks this is the gospel, that Ghost Adventures crew, what they do running around screaming at ghosts, calling them out, is the right thing, the right etiquette to do. You know, Bigfoot Bounty, to run around in the woods with a lightsaber. That's how you attract a Bigfoot.
Oh, we've done that once.
I've never done it. Never done it. Never run around in the woods with a lightsaber.
Okay, well, I've done it once.
Never run around the woods wearing tight leather pants and a tight leather jacket. Sorry.
Hey, look, I wore assless chaps once, okay? We thought it had a practical application. The only thing it did was make a very large target for mosquitoes.
Well, that's your preference. But there needs to be some kind of disclaimer put out, whatever reality TV show it is, to let them know that it doesn't necessarily represent or reflect the topic that they're airing. It's for entertainment purposes. But I know that'll never happen. That's just a pipe dream. But,
you know, I've discussed this with people that actually, you know, produce these shows. And, you know, I want, you know, when I did my stint a couple months ago. You know, I actually talked to some of the producers and, you know, asked what the, you know, what their intentions were other than just making money. And, you know, I think they, and in fact, I know the people that actually go out and do the work themselves, the cameraman, the interviewers, the sound people, they're very serious about what they do. And they do show a lot of interest in their stories. That kind of surprised me. As far as the bigger people up the chain, I don't know. You know, it's about anything making money, but I think some of these companies are much more interested in getting some facts, and they do check out a lot of different things, which, you know, honestly surprised me. So, you know, I guess this is like anything else. You've got your good and your bad, and, I have talked about, you know, these type of productions, especially spirit and paranormal, for a long time, and I just did, and we all know that's 99% crap, you know, but it's entertainment. But, you know, the crypto, some of these crypto shows, even though it's, you know, they are embellished to a point, I mean, I think there is some decent information getting out there. And hopefully down the road that does help us out. But, you know, that's yet to be determined.
Well, one thing I've tried to do over the years and why I've gone to a lot of these events and lectured on different cryptids is to try to educate the public on the realities of what I do, what other crypto researchers do, what other, you know, investigators do, and let them know that it's not the way they see it is on TV. I try to educate people. Of course, I don't make any money off of it. I'm not looking for any kind of spotlight or any kind of notoriety. I want people to learn the truth and to learn really what we know, which is unfortunately very, very little at this point. But these TV shows have these people come on there like they're experts, and they're the best researchers in the field that we have to offer as researchers. So I try to go out there and educate the people and educate the general public so they understand that these TV shows don't represent what we do as researchers in the field.
Yeah, but you know, the shows are going for a bigger audience, which they're going to get. They're getting a more naive audience, an audience that doesn't really know the fine points of what's going on. It does make an impression on them, either good or bad. Mm-hmm. When you're doing a lecture, you're talking to people. You're basically preaching to the choir. And, you know, people that are there at those conferences are people that are already interested in it. And you're just not hitting the audience that the TV productions do. And, you know, that's where it kind of gets skewed. And, I personally have gotten a lot of feedback on these shows because of the blog. And, you know, some of the information I do get from people is kind of a little weird, and but each person thinks about their own way, you know. So, you know, I do think there are some good things, but of course there are a few detrimental things as well.
Yeah, I mean it's good with the bad, but yeah. I just think that there should be some kind of disclaimer put at the beginning of the show. Like Call the Wild Man, it says don't try this at home, you know, and I think you pretty much gather by the intro to the show that it's a tongue-in-cheek kind of show. And if you watch one or two episodes, you know that Ernie Brown and Neil, they're not out there trying to educate the public and make them, you know, animal exterminators or to learn how to protect a family's house or a farmhouse and professionally remove animals. They show it, and it comes across as entertainment. But a lot of these other shows don't. They come across as these are experts in the field. I've been doing this for 25 years is the tagline of one of these supposed experts on one of these reality shows. And I hate to tell you folks, but there are no experts in the paranormal, in ufology, or cryptozoology until we have these answers solved. And you know, we can say, here's a Bigfoot on the slab. And this person studied, dissected it, and watched it in its natural habitat. There is no expert. So all that stuff you see on TV, people claiming to be experts, it's not true. So.
And there you have it.
And take that for what you will. Now, coming down off my soapbox, Tonight we've got a couple of gentlemen joining us on the show. They are from the Wisconsin area. Wisconsin paranormal investigators, Jay and Alan, will be up in just a few minutes. And these guys, I like these guys. I really do, because they're not out there claiming to be experts. They're not out there claiming to know everything there is to know. They're out there looking for the truth, and they openly admit that. What they present as evidence, they say, hey, this may or may not be evidence. We don't know, but we want to find out what the truth is. And I'm very supportive of open minds and objective research. I always have been. So I have a lot of respect for what these guys are doing. Jay Bachochin and Alan Dunsky are their names. They are members of the group called Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators, WPIHuntsTheTruth.com. That's their website. And guys, they're coming up in just a few minutes. It's going to be an exciting show tonight.
It is indeed. Our good friend JB from Wisconsin and his associate will be joining us to talk about what they've been doing out there. And from what I gather, we're going to have some pretty interesting tales tonight.
It should be a fun time. We've got some EVPs that we'll be playing a little later on the show. We'll take your calls, and we'll open up the line toll-free after 9 o'clock. And we've got an interesting case. I'm trying to get the photo up on our website so that people can take a look at the photo and offer your input. But there's a case that they investigated with Aaron Houdini, who is the grandson, great-grandson of Harry Houdini, and they'll be talking about that case a little bit later on in the show while I try to work on getting that photo up. So, gentlemen, what do you say we go ahead and jump into a break a little bit early? We try to get these Skype issues fixed, because if not, it's going to be an awful long night.
Well, okay. We've had long nights before, but it is break time. Got to pay the bills.
That's right. So we'll go ahead and step away for a few minutes, folks. Smoke them if you got them. Crack open a cold one. Whatever you need to do, now's the time to do it, because BTE Radio is stepping away for a minute, and we'll be back right here on the Para X Radio Network.
You're listening to the best alternative talk radio on the planet. Alternative talk radio on the planet. Beyond the Edge Radio. Mama warned you there'd be shows like this. Beyond the Edge Radio. Beyond the Edge Radio.
Good evening. Welcome back to Beyond the Edge Radio, BTE Radio as we like to call it here, live on the Para X Radio Network every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. That's 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. My name is Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's program. Along with me, co-host Lon Strickler and co-host Sean the Fork Chop Forker. We are the BTE Radio crew, and we're glad that you're a part of the show tonight with us. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a great guest, guests on the show tonight. Two gentlemen joining us from the Wisconsin area. And we're going to be talking paranormal tonight, and not just ghosts and hauntings. We're going to be talking all strange things as we look for the truth. That's right, folks. These guys are all about the truth. The Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators, we welcome Jay Bachochin and Alan Dunsky Jr. to the show. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us tonight on the program.
Hey, thanks for having us, Eric. Thanks for having us, guys.
We appreciate you guys stopping by and spending some time with us here on this Sunday evening. Even though it's football playoff season going on right now, you were kind enough to set aside the football games for tonight and join us on the show to talk a little paranormal. So we're pretty excited to have you guys with us. Now, before we get started in our typical question, how did you guys get started in this? I got to ask you guys, who are you rooting for the Super Bowl this year?
That's a good question. Not San Francisco.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Denver.
Okay, all right. I know that you guys are Packer fans, being from Wisconsin.
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
No. I know, Jay, you're Chicago.
Bears.
You're a Bear fan.
We're right on the Cheddar border, so you know, the Cheddar curtains here. So yeah, we're big Chicago Bears fans.
I see your Facebook all the time for the Bears, Jay. I was just teasing you about the Packers.
Well, my wife is, but you know, that's a whole different. We're not married during football season.
That's, yeah. I could tell from your Facebook page that your wife is very tolerant. Well,
he is.
Well, let's go up Broncos then, shall we? Let's see how they do in the Super Bowl this year.
I'm a Seattle win.
Okay.
I tell you, I'm tired of Peyton Manning, and I'm tired of, you know. So,
well, you know, Russell.
Let the new guys get in there once.
Russell Wilson, he's from, well, he went to Wisconsin University.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, University of Wisconsin.
That's right. Okay.
Yep, played for the Badgers. You know, like I said, I don't care who it is as long as it's not San Francisco.
Yeah, I agree.
Here we go.
All right, good enough, guys. Super Bowl is coming up in a couple weeks, so I'm sure we'll all be tied around the TV that night, and I'll be sitting here by myself doing the show. But anyways, let's talk a little paranormal, shall we, guys? Jay and Alan, what inspired you guys to get into paranormal research, aside from looking for the truth to find out for yourself exactly what's out there? Did you guys have an experience or something happen, or was it just a childhood obsession that led into the really interesting hobby that you guys do?
Well, you know, my story has always been, I've been into the paranormal ever since, you know, the silver screen came out with Creature Features back in the 70s. I've always been into anything, you know, supernatural. But really it wasn't until 1977 in Lindenhurst, Illinois, where me and my family actually witnessed, you know, you'd call it a UFO. I mean, it was the most bizarrest thing I've ever seen. It was five of us in our family all stood outside watching this thing, you know, blink, turn, you know, lights turn around, almost like a blimp, but the lights would go off, and within seconds, it was across the sky doing the same thing for about a minute, turn off, be across the sky again. And, geez, I was only 10 years old at the time, but at that point, I was like, seeing is believing. And that's really what kind of got me going into the, you know, the supernatural or the paranormal. You know, a lot of people are always thinking the paranormal is just associated with, you know, the ghost or, you know, the spirits. You know, when the general terminology is, it's a designates the experience that lies outside the range of normal experience or scientific explanation, or that indicates phenomenon understood to be outside of science's current ability to explain or measure. So to me, you know, anything that's supernatural or paranormal in nature is just fascinated me. And that's kind of where I started with mine. So, Al, when was yours there?
You know, I don't have a timeline on mine. I really don't. You know, all throughout my life, I've experienced stuff. I can't tell you what it is because I don't know. But this fascination with the creatures that are unknown. You know, I, as a kid growing up, I always had this dream of, you know, I lived by the woods, pretty much surrounded by woods. And this creature, like, I had this recurring dream nightmare where this creature would be running out of the woods. And here I am, you know, it didn't matter if there's 20 people with me. Everyone makes it out, and I'm doing the Scooby-Doo run. You know, and then just before I'm caught, you know, I wake up. So, you know, and it's weird because now that we're doing this, and you start reading the descriptions of the Dogman, of the Beast of Bray Road, of Goatman, it resembles that, and it's just weird. It's like, how did I have these dreams, and then, you know, all of a sudden, here I am doing this, and then I've also, you know, witnessed something resembling the Beast of Bray Road driving down the road with my sister. So, you know, it's just a matter of finding out what's out there. There's something out there. We just don't know what it is yet.
Okay, that actually opens up an interesting question that just came to my mind while you were talking about that, Alan.
Sure.
Do you think that possibly, and I've heard a lot of other people say this, that you were destined possibly to investigate this? You've had the dreams, you've had a couple of sightings. Do you think that you were brought into this for a particular reason?
You know, I honestly can't tell you one way or another with that. You know, I'm not a big everything happens for a reason kind of person. This stuff just fascinates me. Like I tell everyone, you look at the whole universe, you know, you look at up in the sky and how many new planets they're finding every year. You look in the oceans and how many new creatures that haven't been discovered for millions of years. But hey, look, there it is. You know, so was I destined to? I don't know. I really don't.
So especially since we didn't invite you on the team, you just kind of tagged along and you've been with us ever since.
Yeah, you didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, it seems like the recurring theme for a lot of paranormal researchers, and whether it be in the crypto side of things, the ufology, looking for ghosts and hauntings. It either seems that they either have had a personal experience that got them involved, or had that interest from a very, very young age that kind of put them in that direction. And those people have seemed, in my opinion, to have been destined to study this these strange phenomenon.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of our things, and that's why we kind of branched out from just the whole, you know, ghost hunting that, you know, we call it. We don't like to refer to it as ghost hunting, but that's, you know, the common terminology that everybody knows. But that's why we branched out of it, because that's not, you know, we weren't influenced by any of these new TV shows or anything like that. That's not why we're out here. We're out here to hunt the truth. We're out here to find answers for ourselves. You know, if we can find answers for other people along the way and help them, you know, ease their minds or provide some sort of proof that they're not crazy, that's why we're here.
Right, and I've saw that the group was founded in 2007, pretty much before this huge craze of all these TV reality shows came out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, again, me and my wife founded the team in early 2007, just due to the fact that we wanted to, you know, to go out there and to find out the truth for ourselves. Like Alan was saying, Ghost Hunters was on TV, Taps was on TV, but it wasn't the paranormal craze that you see now. And the reason why we really wanted to start this was to actually find out the answers for ourselves, not, you know, to find out the answers from Google or a TV show or the paranormal shows to say what's real, what's not real. Yeah, we wanted to find out for ourselves. So, yeah, we started off in early 2007. What's up?
Jay, are you saying nothing on Google is real?
Not that I can really tell whether it's anything. Yeah, I know. But that's not where I want to find my information. I'd rather, you know, find my information from what, like Eric was saying earlier about no one being a total expert in their field, except the experience they have. And, you know, Eric, I've shared a lot of things with you, just like I have with Linda Godfrey, who's somebody who's knowledgeable with that. And that's where I'd like to be able to help find our truth. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's my big thing with all of this is and always has been and always will be is, as I said earlier, there are no true experts in this field. There are experienced people. There's very knowledgeable people, but there are no true experts.
Right.
So we always need to ask those questions. We always need to look to others for their input and their insight, because somebody may have an answer different than what I have that works. And somebody may have a knowledge of a certain subject a little more so than I do that can share that knowledge with me, and it will help me in my research. I think falls apart is that people have that opinion that this is all about me, and it's all about me wanting to learn when it should be all about us wanting to learn.
That's exactly it.
Correct.
You know, that's the way we look at it, is it's not just our little group. You know, we're part of a huge, as of now, it's a huge culture, a huge group of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are looking for the same answers, but not all of them might not know the correct avenues to go and get it. You know, like you said, nobody's an expert. Nobody will be an expert unless they, you know, are out in the woods and live with Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Beast of Bray Road for 4 years and know all of its habits, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, like I was going to, you know, mention is that, you know, we've, you know, WPI as a whole, we've never been out for the attention or, you know, the limelight or a financial gain. I mean, if we're really hunting the truth, we're doing it for ourselves, and we would like to network with those such as yourself in the field to help find those answers. You know, that's how come we personally don't have any of those problems or any issues giving other people the credit. You know, I'm sending something over to Eric Altman. You may say something here. I'm going to look at that and say, hey, you've got that experience under your belt. I will listen to that. And I have no problem saying that at all.
Neither do I. I mean, I would go to somebody who had 6 months of experience or even 2 weeks of experience if it would help all of us learn exactly what we're trying to find out. You know, it doesn't matter how long somebody's been doing this. They may have hit gold in the first couple of weeks of doing this and have an answer that I don't have. So I think sharing is an important thing. Now, just to keep things moving along here, I'm curious to know, and I'm sure Sean and Lon would like to know this too, of all the fields that you guys have looked into, and I know you've looked into a variety of different things, what would you have to say is your favorite field of the paranormal to investigate?
Well, I know Jay's answer to this one, so that's easy.
Go ahead, Jay, say it.
It's spooky ones in the sky.
Got it. I love chasing UFOs. Definitely.
So your experience, you believe was the catalyst for that, Jay?
That's exactly what it was, and that wasn't the only one I've seen throughout my life so far. I've counted 6 different objects that I'm not gonna say they're little green men or anything like that, you know. But just to see the maneuvers in the sky just blew me away. So, you know, seeing 6 different things in the sky that are moving, having these maneuvers that you've just never seen before, and seeing it with your own eyes, not on TV or any, you know, this was something that was real to me. And that's really what the catalyst was for it. Before we even started WPI in 2007, it was probably 1995 when I saw one in Antioch, Illinois, a couple of them in Antioch, as a matter of fact. And that's when I had my old VHS recorder. And I remember going out with my VHS tape, and here I am trying to go to the areas where I thought it would be with my little nightlight on. So, you know, my investigating actually started in 95, not professionally or anything like that, but it was definitely a hobby that really was a catalyst. So, yeah, definitely.
And Alan, your favorite?
You know, I'm a hunter, so it's got to be the more of the cryptozoology. And I'm actually, you know, I kind of convinced Jay to, hey, let's kind of jump over to something a little newer than, you know, going to investigate your grandma's basement, you know, just something a little different and get us out in the woods, get us out, you know, researching, but not only, you know, with equipment, you're doing it with your ears, your eyes, your instinct, you're in the woods, you're one with nature, and God only knows what you're going to find. You know, we found some odd footprints, some weird sounds, you know, nothing's really jumped out at us yet, but we do have big plans as far as, you know, trying to, different ways of maybe even baiting, of setting up, you know, multiple trail cams, everything like that. Where, you know, just like if you're going deer hunting and you're going to go scout a location, that's what we're doing as of right now. And hopefully we can find some answers. But that's the part I love, is just knowing that there's, you know, just history has proved there are creatures out there that don't want to be seen and they're not seen. So, you know, is it something along those lines? I sure hope so.
Well, you know, you guys are in a hot spot, basically. Some of the, and quite frankly, I actually, and through my archives yesterday, searched for reports that I have personally received out of Wisconsin. And since 2008, I've received and published 125 types of sightings.
Yeah.
Now, that includes UFO, you know, spiritual, Bigfoot, Dogman, werewolf.
You know. I personally think a lot of it has to do with the Native American culture and the history here. You know, there's so many effigy mounds and all the, you know, the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, you know, we're bordered by them. And, you know, those were their superhighways. They left a whole bunch of stuff for us to find out. And, you know, you go back to the days of their drawings, they're drawing stuff like that. So, you know, is it something carried on from them, a myth, folklore? I don't know, you know, but it's a pretty good imagination if it is.
Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, some of the reports I get are pretty odd. But I think the ones that fascinate me the most are, of course, the Dogman and werewolf sightings. And, I mean, I get them all through. Now, I know you guys concentrate a lot on southern or even southwest Wisconsin. But, I mean, throughout the state, and I would have to say even the upper Midwest, I mean, there is just so much as far as these Dogman or canid-type cryptid sightings. It's pretty remarkable because I don't get sightings like that. Other than maybe I got a few down in Florida and maybe some down in Texas, but I don't get them like that, like I do in your area. And, right. And of course, you know, with, you know, we all know Linda, and Linda, she concentrates on that. And, you know, there are a lot of sightings up there. And people that just never even heard of dogmen or werewolves or, you know, that are not familiar with that happening up there. I mean, they're still getting those sightings. They are getting sightings and reporting them. So it's pretty amazing. It really is. And you guys you guys are in a great place.
Well, like you said, you know, the center of all the activity seems to be the upper Midwest. And it stretches even further. It stretches up into Canada, northern Illinois. You know, Ohio has a huge area that they've been looking at. But, I mean, Goatman, you know, Dogman, that stretches to Maryland, everywhere else. I mean, there's little sightings here and there, but, I mean, this is the epicenter of pretty much everything.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I've gotten some really great Bigfoot sightings in that area as well, and UFO sightings. There's definitely something there. There's something there that's actually causing it. You know, we've all talked about this before, there being specific hotspots in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. But, I mean, I think there definitely is something there in that specifically southern Wisconsin area. But I was actually pretty shocked when I started counting up compared to some of the other states. And I would say Wisconsin is definitely in my top five as far as states that I get reports.
Well, I tell you what, you should come out here and join us on a couple weekend nights here.
I love it up there. I mean, I used to have a friend that lived White Pigeon. Is that the name of the place? Or is that Michigan? I don't know. Maybe that was Michigan. It was Wisconsin, because we used to go up to Madison later. Yeah, I was in Wisconsin. I was thinking of somebody else. But no, I do like it up there. And you know, but as far as, you know, my research, I don't, you know, it was pretty interesting how many reports, especially the last 5 years, have been coming out of there. I was talking to Linda about this stuff, and you know, it's really cool because you know you just don't get the, degree of candid type sightings like you do in your area.
And actually, that's why I so enjoy Linda's company. You know that I had lunch with her last Sunday, and just a fascinating woman. Love listening to her. And love that she is the hub with the dogman up here. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the same time, you know, if you look at her, if you ever look at her homepage, there is a link for anybody that, you know, has any stories, leads, pictures or whatnot. And we will get those in. And it's funny that, you know, all of a sudden people start coming out of the woodwork a little bit. But it wasn't recent. You know, this was like 20 years ago. We were driving in the Elkhorn area, you know, and it's almost all these same stories of pulling up to something, seeing something and just taking off, but it didn't look, you know, like a natural, you know, wildlife. It'll look much bigger. And, you know, again, it was 20 years ago.
Right.
These are some of the stories I still haven't heard or anything like that, but that just kind of keeps the drive going of saying, hey, you know, there definitely could be something out here.
Well, so let's talk about dogmen for a second.
Any little story I get from, or any type of sighting, I ship right off to Linda, because since she, you know, she's
good.
She keeps all the basically all the recordings, records of everything, and I'd much rather have her having just sitting in my blog or sitting someplace else, because I think it is important. I think it's important that everybody knows about it, and that's the way I've always been with this. It's just like anything else. I mean, I get reports of other things, I'm going to send it off to other researchers so they have a record of it. That's just the best way of doing it, in my opinion.
And, well, you know how Linda got thrown into all this, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, Linda wasn't even into this stuff. She was just a reporter for a local newspaper.
I knew that.
You know, all these witnesses came out, you know, with, hey, you know, there's this dog man, this wolf man, this werewolf, you know, so many different claims. And, you know, she was just like us. She was skeptical. She didn't really, you know, believe in all of it until all of a sudden she started interviewing these witnesses. That's when the myth becomes an actual story. And you start hearing all these different claims. And these people are convinced. I mean, just not too long ago, you know, there was a man, he was roadkill. That's what his job was. You know, he was to pick up the roadkill. You know, he's on the side of the road.
Yeah, Steve Kruger. Yep.
Yeah, doing his paperwork, and bam, you know, that thing hits the truck, gone. How do you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the interesting thing on that, Alan, is I was actually in October. We went up to Burlington. Linda was speaking up there, and I actually met Steve Kruger, and this was the guy up on Holy Hill who actually experienced that. And it was really cool to hear the firsthand account of this. And he definitely is the type of guy that doesn't seem like really what's in it for him to come up with something like that. You know, like you were saying, people are 100% convinced of what they're seeing.
Well, I remember it took him a couple of years just to actually show his face and a name, you know, associated with that. So,
yeah, the dramatization they did on Monsters and Mysteries a week or so ago of that sighting was really good. And I knew about the story. I do have one question, though. Did they ever find the metal ramp?
No.
I don't know.
Actually, that's from what they said. They never did find the ramp, which was still kind of odd. You know, you figure if it was something edible, that would be taken away. But, you know, where the heck did the ramp go, you know?
Yeah.
It's being currently used for shelving.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm thinking, wouldn't somebody find it?
All right. So now, while I have a moment here, I'm going to ask you guys a very critical question, because I want to know about your investigations into the Dogman. I want to hear some tales from WPI.
Oh, from ours? Well, you know, like Alan was saying, we're doing a lot of recon here in Southeast Wisconsin. We have a lot of miles to cover, not only, you know, down here in the Elkhorn area, but the Kettle Moraine area as well. We try to get out at least, once or twice a month, and each one of them is not traipsing through, you know, the forest or anything like that. One of our accounts, actually, it was Alan and I, and this was in August when we were by White Deer Trail. Do you remember that, Alan?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Pulling up, and there was something, even that roadkill.
Right.
I was driving. You all of a sudden were just like, oh.
You know, and the funny thing is, I don't know what it was. You know, it was just roadkill on the side of the road. And, you know, I think we came around just a slight bend. And I can't tell you it was, you know, this huge, you know, 600-pound dog man. But it was a very strange-looking animal that I had, you know, I know my Wisconsin animals. It wasn't anything I immediately recognized. And especially with how fast the thing took off. I mean, as soon as I saw it and Jay had the time to hit the brakes, I was out of the car with my flashlight chasing this thing, and instantly it was gone. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was definitely strange, but I can't tell you it was the dog man or anything like that.
Right. Here we are chasing some sort of animal we don't know with our flashlight, and I've got my video going. I'm like, well, man, what if this thing just jumps out and all of a sudden attacks us? Didn't even think about that, but let's get the evidence.
Well, then you'll get video footage, at least. Somebody will find that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you
Blair Witch type. I don't know. They didn't find that ramp.
Take one for science.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. You know, Jay's, he's a little more on the edge when it comes to the stuff being out in the wild. Me, you know, the dark doesn't scare me. I'll run down the side of the road chasing Bigfoot if I have to. It is what it is.
Jay, you and I are kind of alike on that. I've been doing this for a long time, and I still get the jitters and the heebie-jeebies when I'm out there in the middle of the woods, you know, far away from any help if we really needed it. And it's a unique place to be when you're out there in the middle of the night and you start hearing strange sounds or seeing strange things, and gets the adrenaline going, but you still have that little sense of, I call it common sense, that says, damn, something might actually get me out of here.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was just, we saw it. Alan was, seriously, he had his flashlight out of the car almost before I could stop. You know, this was about 2 a.m, so there's no cars. I'm in the middle of the road, put it in park. I'm jumping out with my video. And I'm starting to run towards where we, where Alan was going, because that's where he saw it take off. And I'm thinking, well, okay, if it wasn't the Beast or a Sasquatch or anything like that, maybe a rabid coyote? I don't know. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe we should, but you know, that all turned out okay. There was another instance. We were just out in, up in the kettle in, October, and there was four of us out there. And I actually caught some audio, still inconclusive. I know I've heard, let Alan listen to it. Marty, who's also on the team, good wildlife guys they have on the team to listen to and try to find the native, kettle moraine animals out there to make sound, to try to, you know, define the sound that we heard. And I still can't. I mean, I think, Alan, I think you said coyote, did you? No, you didn't say coyote. I think it was
no, I did. Yeah, I believe it was a pup. That's what I believe.
If it was a pup. It was odd. I've never heard it. The guys I was with never heard it. Does that mean that it was, you know, a cryptid? No, it does not mean that. And again, I have the audio. I'm going to try to compare and analyze, you know, to analyze this. And I still have come to an inconclusive, but again, we're not going out throwing that out there. We're not trying to, you know, hunt the truth and come up with false evidence or anything like that. If it's inconclusive, we're not going to bring it to anybody. And Eric, I know I sent it to you, but you weren't conclusive on it. The last weekend we were out, we caught two weird human like whistles, just a single whistle. It was just weird. It didn't make us jump. It was during the day. You know, Eric, I know you didn't really know what you thought of it or anything like that. I think it could have been inconclusive, but again, it's like, let's find that bird, the deer, whatever made that human whistle, you know? And we caught two of them within 5 minute period, and it sounded like it was right on top of us, and we were on top of the kettle, and we were able to pan, you know, the woods. We didn't see anything, but what's making the sound? All right.
Did you look up?
We're going to be heading out there again this Friday.
You know, the sound that you sent was pretty interesting. I can't identify it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to hear it clear enough to make a positive identification, but I did send you a couple of recordings of what people theorize are Bigfoot's whistling, and there's been reports over the years of Bigfoot whistling, so it's a possibility. But what I like what you guys do is you don't jump to that conclusion and say, oh, we heard a Bigfoot whistle. No, you heard a strange whistle, and you don't know what it is, so you're going to start looking at other rational answers and rational possibilities. So, and as we talked about earlier, you reach out to other people who may have a little more experience, you know, dealing with something like that to find out exactly what that might be. So that's big kudos to you guys.
Right.
One of your compadres at WPI put a message on the board to have you guys tell us about the mysterious diesel truck.
Yeah, that was in October as well. We were, after we heard these sounds, okay, the calls, that could be a pup coyote, we heard, actually, let me back up a little bit. We were actually going to, you know, take the big stick, you know, hit it against a tree a few times to try to call to see if we could get a response since we were out there after we heard the calls. And we tried it once. We didn't get a response. We were about to try it a second time when we heard this big diesel coming up. We were, you know, no more than 50 yards from the main road, but enough brush in between us where you couldn't really see us, or we could barely see the lights go by. Well, the diesel's coming up, and it's loud, and all of a sudden it just isn't there anymore. It actually sounded like it stopped right by our car. So we were literally 90 seconds down the path running, you know, to come up by the road to make sure there was no tow truck there or cop or anything saying, hey, get off the side of the road, which we weren't illegal, but still, nothing was there. And if you really listen to the audio, you never hear the truck stop. It just ceases to make sound, like it vanished. Well, the first thing I'm thinking of is the kettle's got hills, wind travel. I understand all that. It was still kind of bizarre because they were talking about it being a phantom tow truck or something as a joke, of course, but I'm like, I can't explain it. Eric, I think you've listened to that audio. I don't know if you've made heads or tails of it, even though you weren't there. It was just ceased to make sound.
It was strange.
I call it a phantom.
It was definitely weird.
And, you know, after you explained to me what had actually happened, I don't know. Maybe it was something where a sound was maybe coming from another direction, and it kind of sounded like it was coming from the one direction. Right. I don't know. I can't explain that.
Well, you brought that up, and actually, Keely and I were out last Sunday, and when we were in the same location, there's few and cars coming in between there, and when they did, we actually observed the sound, which direction it sounded like it came from. And at one time, you could hear a car coming. I'm actually pointing to the right. Keely's pointing to the left. And lo and behold, it was coming from the left. So, yes, definitely the way the sound can move within the kettle can throw you off. So can this big diesel tow truck or whatever type of truck it was that just disappeared? Yeah, it could have definitely just been a play on, the hills, the wind, the curves, and all that stuff, too.
The kettle Moran, and Linda talked about this as well, and she probably told you about her encounter that she had there recently. It is a strange area, and I had told her myself that I had received a lot of UFO incidents, and as well as a few unknown incidents in that area. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of stuff that goes on there, and it just seems like it is a lot of strange phenomena.
Well, they're always talking about, Bigfoot or Sasquatch or some of these cryptids being interdimensional.
Right.
You know, okay, that's even a further stretch than what that is. But, you know, at one point I was thinking, you know, after we heard those calls, you know, out there, and then we heard the disappearing tow truck, I'm thinking, wait a minute, were we just caught in a time vortex? And I'm like, all right, shake my head. No, we're hunting the truth. Nothing happened here. And it could just be a play on, you know, the roads, the hills, the kettle, you know, playing tricks, just like the sound we heard. You know, that could have been, you know, how far away, and it could have just come across, you know, a different way from our location where we caught the recording. Mm-hmm. It's very possible.
With what Jay was saying, unless you're there in a recording, it's only going to do so much. You might hear the sound or close to the sound, but you're not going to hear the exact same thing. You're not there. You're not in the conditions. You know, I've listened to it. You know, I can't tell you what it is. I wasn't there. Me personally, you know, being more of the skeptic, you know, I believe that, you know, it's very possible it was a human. You know, the deer season pretty much just ended here. There was a special CWD hunt. You know, it is public hunting in that area or parts of that area. So, you know, a lot of hunters, if they're up in a tree stand, you know, instead of just yelling, "Hey, dude, get out of here," you know, they're going to do a whistle or, you know, clap their hands or snap or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Just so they're not going to scare any wildlife that might be, you know, just a little further away rather than screaming. So there's so many possibilities for what it could be.
And I was thinking of that too, Alan, you know, with the whistle. But at the same time, Keely and I were up there for a good 45 minutes. So I'm thinking either this hunter, if it was a hunter, if it was a person, would have finally said, "Guys, get the hell out of here," or something.
Hey, you never know.
You were, you know, right. Talking, observing, you know, hey, you're right. Or he could have been up there illegally. I don't know. Never know.
That's a good possibility. You know, or he could have fallen asleep like I do in the tree stand many times. You know, wake up and all of a sudden there's two people there like, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that reminds me of, you know, what's that, the ghost deer. You ever hear of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ghost deer. I think it's in California or something where, you know, it's like a 10 or 12 point elk or, you know, something along those lines, like a large elk and, you know, big 250 pounds. And, you know, all these hunters are shooting at it and apparently no bullet will penetrate it. So, you know, back to the cryptids. I mean, there's so many different little variations and stories out there. How is it that, you know, we can't find proof of these yet?
Yeah, it gets frustrating. It definitely does. It does. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for folks that want to call in tonight with questions for Jay and Al. The call-in number is toll-free, and you can call 877-677-2858. Again, 877-677-2858 if you have questions for Jay or Alan from Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators. They'll be happy to answer it for you. Now, guys, you sent me some EVPs earlier in the week, and I've had a chance to take a listen to them. I believe Sean has listened to them as well. So do you guys want to jump into starting to play some of these EVPs and explain the situation behind them and maybe a little bit of background on them?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, we're going to go in a chronological order here. The first one I have is called Beach House, which was recorded in October of 2007.
Yes. Okay, actually, this is one of – Alan, why don't you start? Because this is the place where you are working at.
Yeah, actually, I'm just trying to get to where they're at because 2007, I can't remember last week, let alone 2007.
Welcome to BTE Radio.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to scroll down.
Yeah, right.
I'm on the page right now. Hang on, guys. 1 second. Jay, fill him in while you can.
Okay. Well, Alan's a carpenter, electrician, so he was actually working on remodeling a beach house in Powers Lake, Wisconsin here, which he can give you more of the history, the background of the actual house. But as he was doing some construction, which was re-gutting out everything, he experienced laying down some tile in the bathroom upstairs when a shadow figure walked right on the outside of the door. This place is small, so it was enough to go, whoa, hey, what's going on here? And this is kind of, you know, we're kind of still new into actually going into houses and investigating. And, you know, it's about a 5-minute drive from my house, actually. You know, one night he said, hey, KDJ, that's before we had kids even, let's go down there and, you know, get some pictures, do some EVPs. And I'll tell you, this was really bizarre because Al and myself and Katie were almost sitting in a triangle of each other, probably about 5 feet from each other when you hear this EVP. And so you could listen to my voice, Al's voice, and Katie's voice. We're actually almost in a triangular 5 feet apart from each other. So if you go ahead and play that, take a listen to it. Take a listen to what we've kind of caught right in between as we're talking here.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to play it. We'll play it three times and let the audience take a listen to it. And then when we're done playing them, if you can tell us what you're hearing or what you believe is being said in the EVP, that way we're not tarnishing what's being said. So this is called The Beach House, recorded October 2007, and I'm going to go ahead and play it for everybody right now.
Just kind of position yourself and just kind of sat there. And...
I'd like to sit down here for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
So you can hear the stuff.
Right. It's probably good on that. Thank you.
Cut. For you.
The bullet on the insurance company.
Okay, now that came through a little low on the first time I played it, so I'm going to play it again, and we're really going to crank the volume up. Now, what I hear, and this is just me, my opinion, I'm hearing some kind of language, but I can't quite decipher what it's saying. So let's play it again, and we're going to crank the volume up on this to see if anybody in our listening audience can hear this, or maybe they can figure out what it's saying. So here we go.
Just kind of position myself and just kind of sat there. I mean,
I'd like to sit down here for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
You can turn the stuff.
Okay. It's probably good on that. Thank you.
Cut. For you.
The building on the insurance company.
All that.
Okay, that was the second time we played it, and a little bit louder that time, but it's still really you can't really tell what it's saying. It's almost indiscernible. Let's go ahead and if you can, gentlemen, share with us your thoughts as to what you believe that is saying, and then we'll play it the last time to see if we can hear it.
You know, we've been trying to decipher it or translate it for the past, 6-7 years now. And a lot of people that we've gotten a lot of opinions from, because again, when we put these EVPs on our page, we, you know, don't give out the suggestive thought of what we think it's saying. It's almost get out now, get back now, something similar to that. That's kind of what I got from it, you know, listening to it over and over and over. But maybe that's just locked inside. Alan?
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't know. Again, you can listen to it over and over and over, but I cannot figure out what it is saying.
Some of the suggestions in the chat room have it saying, let me read a couple to you, hold that ground. People are hearing two different voices. Someone says, go back to town, please. Focus, then run, rah. Someone says it's saying, go back to me. So there's a couple different things. Someone said they heard bullseye, a couple different possibilities. So I'm going to go ahead and mute our microphones again, and I'm going to play it one last time, and we'll take one last listen to it and see if we can hear or better make out what it's saying. So here we go.
Just kind of position yourself and just kind of sit there. I'd
like to sit down here for a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We can turn the stuff off.
It's not
good
on the
To me, it sounds almost like it's saying, go back to town. But it's so hard to really make out exactly what it's saying. It could be anything. Sean, what do you think? You've listened to the EVPs.
I had a hard time hearing anything the first couple times. But listening to it, to me, it does sound like it's repeating bullseye.
I know both of those, it could make sense if you dip back into the history of the actual building. The actual building, when it dates back, was a speakeasy for Al Capone's guys. So, and it's just outside of town. So, you know, could it be bullseye? They're playing darts. Could it be, go back to town? I don't know. Personally, again, I can't make heads or tails of it.
It's definitely interesting. There's something there.
I can't hear it over the radio. Close it though. The way I've got my microphone there.
Right, same
but
here.
I tell you, if you guys can send it over to me, I've got software that I can kind of clean it maybe and see if there's any, if it takes any power or anything out of it.
Right, and see, that's one of the things we never really do.
Yeah, and I understand why you do that. And I can commend you on that. But sometimes, you know, if you just take some of the ambient noise out of the back, sometimes it'll say you'll bring it out.
Right, you know, right. We just don't want to, you know, I guess once, you know, our theory on it is, you know, we don't hold it against anybody that does, you know.
Yeah.
But ours is, you know, if it's going to be the real deal, it's going to be, you know, it's going to jump out at us, and we're not going to have to, you know, mess with the settings or the sounds or, you know, taking the background sounds out. At least that's our hope, you know. You know, we have played around with this stuff before, but, you know, it's one of those things. But, yeah, you know, I mean, if you can try and make heads or tails of it with that software, I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, if you could send it to me on my email, and Jane knows my email. So, I mean, just send it to me. I'd really like to listen to it.
All right, on to the next one we go. This was recorded.
Definitely, we'll do that.
Okay. This was recorded November of 2009, and the title of the EVP is called OSR Gunshot.
Oh.
Hey, can we save that one for the last one?
Sure, we can do that. What about the OSR okay. speaking
let's
audio?
Let's go to the... Yeah, let's try listening to that one.
Okay, this one is called OSR speaking audio. Can you give us a little bit of background on this one?
Well, again, this is going to be where Investigator Jackie was at the Ohio State Reformatory. Actually caught two very unique EVPs. This one here, you know how they put them in classes, A being the best, the most convincing, the most audible, you know, all the way down to, you know, G, garbage, you know, that it could be anything. Again, this one has been really hard for us because, again, we cannot really determine what it's saying, but it's definitely something that sounds like it's audible. And this was caught. We're really good about putting our audio devices on pallets, actually designed by Alan, to put our EMF meters on and to put our audio devices on so that there is no accidental rubbing of the, you know, the DVR against the clothes that could make it sound, you know, it could come across as anything, or if you bump sure. it, there's wind hitting it or whatnot. These DVRs are static. I mean, they're not, you know, being jostled around in hands or anything like that. So, but this one that you're about to play, and I know it's hard because I can't hear what you're playing because we're getting muted. But I know which one you're talking about. Again, this one here has still been inconclusive within our own team and anybody else that we've sent this out with. But take a listen to it. Let me know what any of the listeners think or what you guys think.
Okay, we're not going to try to figure out what it says before we play it a couple times, so it gives the audience a chance to come up with their own possible answers. So here we go. This one is entitled OSR yep. Speaking Audio, and we're going to play it right now. Okay, now I hear two voices there. I hear footsteps walking across the wooden floor, and then I hear a very raspy, it sounds like mm-hmm. it could be a male voice. I cannot tell you what it says. I've played it twice.
Sounds male to me, too.
And then a female voice at the very end of it talking. That might be Jackie that we're hearing at the end, but the male voice in the middle there correct. Is very raspy, and it's almost indiscernible.
Right. And it was just something that really just kind of, yeah, and the thing is, it stood out. You know, when we do our analyzing, I mean, we're not sitting there listening, eating popcorn and drinking as if we're watching an episode on TV. You know, our eyes are closed. We're focused, and we try to do this, you know, as quickly as we can after each investigation, you know, so that our mindset is still there, you know, that where we were at that point, where the timelines were. And within this was just two of the girls, actually. It was Jackie and Amy, who was on our team at the time. It was just the two of them. And, you know, you're picking up almost what it sounds like a male voice. And, again, you know, if you were going to put these on Class A to G for garbage, you know, I'm throwing that kind of in the middle because it's definitely sounds like a male audible, but it's really hard to make out exactly what that is.
I'd agree. Well, I'm going to go ahead and play this again. Since it's a short clip, I'm going to play it twice again and go ahead and turn our mics off. I'll turn this up as loud as it'll go. Yeah, I'm kind of making out, and this is just my opinion, it sounds to me, part of the language says it's great stuff to have, but I can't say for sure that's what it's saying. I just really can't tell, honestly, what exactly it is. It's difficult. Very strange.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll definitely send these over to Lon as well. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, you know, we don't make this stuff up. I mean, we're going out there hunting the truth. You know, we're not, you know, you know, we're not TAPS, we're not Ghost Adventures, we're not Ghost Lab. I mean, right. We're just a bunch of guys going out trying to, without saying, we're going in there trying to hunt the truth. We're trying to say, hey, this place is haunted. All right, prove it. Show us something. And right. Let's figure out what it is once we catch it.
You know, look at our website. You'll see we don't have, you know, 4 pages of EVP evidence because pretty much 99% of the stuff we come into contact with and have questions about, you know, it gets passed throughout the team, and it has to be a 100% unanimous, okay, yes, this didn't happen when we were there.
Sure.
This isn't any of us. It wasn't an outside influence. And then, you know, we might even pass it to, you know, other groups that we work with, and hey, you know, can you take a listen to this? Tell me what you think. You know, before anything even makes the webpage, because we don't want to be that person that throws out, oh, you know, it's a fart in the wind, you know, but all of a sudden it's an EVP that's saying get out, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell exactly what's saying in that one, and that's probably the best stance to take on it is to present it and let other people hear it, and maybe someone can come up with a little clearer answer as to what's being said.
Definitely. EVP is very subjective, you know, to the ear that's listening to it. And even trying to, you know, identify them, it can be very difficult.
Let's move on to the third one now. This one is Howard's Grove, recorded by Alan and Keith in March of 2010. Give us a little background on that.
All right. This was an old schoolhouse. Actually, they converted it into a nursery, a daycare type place. You know, they had long reports of a woman down the hallway screaming, you know, just numerous paranormal reports. And Keith and myself were actually going into the nursery area where they keep the small children. And if you think of the old schoolhouses, you know how they had that retractable center divider that made, you know, one big room, two small rooms?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. So they had the two separate doors. Keith went in one to the left. I went into the right. As soon as we walk into this room, you know, we hear it, and it wasn't an EVP. We hear it with our own ears, both of us at the same time, what you're about to play.
All right, we'll get Jay back on the line here with us, and we're going to go ahead and play this. Howard's Grove, recorded by Alan and Keith, and I'm going to go ahead and shut the mics off. We'll play this a couple times through.
What was that?
Yeah, you hear that too?
What was that?
I don't know.
What was that?
Yeah, you hear that too?
What was that?
I don't know.
All right, I did hear a voice there. I can't tell you what it says, but I did hear some kind of voice, and then I hear your reactions. Did you hear that? Yeah, what was that? So let's play this one more time here for everybody out there. We'll even do it twice. We'll crank it up as loud as we can get it so everyone can hear it.
What was that?
Yeah, did you hear that too?
What was that?
I don't know.
Okay, that, yeah, it does, and there are some comments being left in the chat room saying that it says 13. To me, when I first heard it, I thought thirsty, but it very well could be 13 that female voice is saying, but it's definitely there. There's a female voice right before your reaction. Did you hear that? Yeah, did you hear that too? Yeah, there's definitely a female voice in there.
Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, when it comes to, you know, you guys listening to it, you know, we actually heard this with our own ears. So, you know, when I listen to it, I'm going to hear a little more than you guys are. And it actually, when we heard her, you know, she kind of spoke. There was a brief pause and then said something else. And the last part to me on here is inaudible. But the first part, it almost sounded like she you know, asked, hey, who's there? And like I said, again, it's subjective to everybody hearing it, but being in there and hearing that disembodied voice, I tell you what, that was one time my hair stood up on end, because we know that there was no female anywhere near us. I mean, not even, this is a big schoolhouse, and we only had, I think, one or two females with us that day, and they were on the other end of the school in command. So, I mean, they were in a sealed off room where there's no possible way their voice would have traveled anywhere close to that.
Interesting. Well, let's do this last one here, and then we'll take our bottom of the hour break. This is the one entitled OSR Gunshot, and it was recorded November of 2009.
This one, to me, it's interesting, very interesting. Do you want a little lead up to it?
Sure. Let's hear the little history on it.
Ohio State Reformatory, anybody in the paranormal field probably knows about this place. There's a story that the warden's wife, it's a fact, she was shot there and later died. I believe it was 3 days later. There were two stories leading up to how she was shot. One was she was reaching in the closet, you know, the warden's gun slipped off the shelf, hit the floor, shot her, and then she died 3 days later. The other one story is, it was a messy divorce, and he pretty much hired somebody to murder her. So the girls, it was Jackie and Amy at the time, the audio you hear, they're actually trying to find that specific closet where the gun, came from the one story. So you'll hear that, and then just keep a close listen out, not necessarily with
you want to crank this one up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and play this here. We'll play it a couple of times, and then we'll try to figure out what's going on here. So.
She have kept it in the desk bedroom, do you think? I don't know. She probably kept it in the master bedroom, I would assume. The desk, the master bedroom. Apparently, this is the guest bedroom. This is the small. That's the guest bedroom. There's the family bedroom. She just kept it in the guest bedroom, do you think? I don't know. She probably kept it in the master bedroom, I would assume. The desk, the master bedroom. Finally, this is the guest bedroom. This is the small one. That's the guest bedroom. There's the family bedroom.
Now that, of all the ones that I've heard that we've played, that is just, that gave me goosebumps, guys. You can hear the shot and the scream right after it.
Yeah, that's what you call the Class A.
Right. If you now, you're listening to it that way, if you listen to it, with your a good set of headphones, and you actually listen, you won't just hear the gunshot and a scream after. You'll actually hear like 2 to 3 smaller, fainter screams before that gunshot, which to me, it's very odd, and it matches up with one of the claims of, her being shot. There's no doubt to me that is a gunshot. Without a doubt, it's a gunshot. You even have the echo, that it created. So now, say you've got that woman screaming before, then a gunshot, then the scream afterwards. Well, obviously, it kind of takes away the first story of, she was going in for a jewelry box because she's screaming beforehand. What is she screaming about? Was she being chased and then shot?
It's hard to say.
Without being there, but, either way, you've got a gunshot and a woman screaming with a claim there of the warden's wife being shot in that exact area of the prison. So, to us, that's probably the best EVP we've ever caught and probably ever will catch.
That's pretty impressive. All right, I'm going to play it again twice, mute our mics out here and crank it up. So listen for, you said it's a scream, then a gunshot, and then some fainter screams? I've heard definitely heard the one the scream.
Fainter, yeah, you'll have fainter the fainter screams first. Beforehand.
Okay, here we go, guys.
She just kept it in the gas lantern, do you think? I don't know. She probably kept it in the mask. I don't know. She. The door. The mask is open. Finally, this is the death bed. This is the smell. You see, oh yeah. Walk there quickly. That's the death bed. There's the family bed.
That's pretty interesting, guys. For what it's worth, that's a creepy EVP.
Yeah, and that's how we were all. Were, you know, as soon as Jackie presented that to us, our jaws dropped. It's one of those things. How do you dispute it? I mean, and you can tell from Jackie and Amy, you know, they didn't hear a single thing. How do you not hear that?
That's freaky. That really gave me the goosebumps. That's for sure. Guys, what did you think? Sean, I know you heard it.
Yeah, that was intense. I think you saw my comment there in the chat before I got booted. I was listening to it independently of the interview because we can't hear, you know, what you're playing on the air. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to listen to all of them before showtime, and wow, that is.
It's interesting. And Lon, I'll send you an email with the files attached to it so you can take a listen to it after the show.
Know, that has been modeled.
Yeah, I really like listening.
All right, well, gentlemen, we got to take our last break of the program, take care of our sponsors, and when we come back, we've got more with Jay and Alan from WPI, that's Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators, and we'll conclude talking this evening about some of the more interesting cases, and more to come after the break. This is BTE Radio live here on the Para-X Radio Network, and we'll be back right after this.
Doesn't get any better than this. Beyond the Edge Radio.
Welcome back to tonight's program. This is BTE Radio live here on the Para-X Radio Network. And for those who need it broken down, it stands for Beyond the Edge Radio. I've actually had people ask me what BTE Radio stands for. So it's Beyond the Edge Radio. And we're live here on the Para-X Radio Network every Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 to 9 Central. And if you're out on the Pacific Coast, it's still daylight out there. It's, 5 to 7, Lon, I believe?
What's that?
Time frame out in Pacific.
Oh, it's 3 hour time difference.
Okay, so we're looking 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. A great discussion we were having with our friends Jay and Alan from WPI. That's Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators. And just got done playing some really interesting EVPs and getting a lot of buzz in the chat room about those EVPs. A lot of discussion about what they are and what they could be. All subjective, of course, and fascinating stuff indeed. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us tonight on the show. We appreciate it and appreciate you sharing that stuff with us this evening.
Oh, definitely. Thanks. Yeah, definitely.
And we got about 8 minutes left in the program, so I want to throw this out to you guys. Unless Sean or Lon, you guys have anything you'd like to ask?
No, go ahead.
Okay. My question for you guys is, You've been doing this since 2007. What, in your opinion, and we'll start with you, Alan, first, what, in your opinion, has been the strangest or most exciting investigation that you've been a part of?
In all honesty, I would have to say each and every one of them. Really, it's a new investigation. It's new opening your mind to whatever that claim could be. So, I mean, I really don't have a favorite up until it comes to, you know, reviewing the evidence. And once you start catching that stuff, then you realize, holy cow. And it goes back to that gunshot. You know, when you can tie in claims and catch something like that, a Class A EVP, on your recorders, that'll keep me doing it for the rest of my life. But
hey, you know, Alan, are you going to be shy? Are you going to be shy about setting up on the sixth floor at Ohio State Reformatory?
I won't. Will you?
No, go ahead.
You know,
this was all you, man.
Wait, which one?
We were setting up the tripod on the sixth
floor.
Oh,
okay, yeah. Ohio State Reformatory, you know, back to where the gunshot was. I claim to be very skeptical. I claim that there's a reason for everything, you know, a logical reason, and I can typically explain most of it. Well, up in the tuberculosis ward of the Ohio State Reformatory, you know, you guys know the history of the place. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people died up in that room. Jay and myself, we were setting up cameras, of course, when all evidence should be captured during setup. I have the camera in my hand. It's already on the tripod, and I'm panning the room, asking Jay, you know, where should we set this up? And I pan over to the right, and I look back to the left. And as soon as I look back to the left, I have a face, a male, his mid-30s, clean-shaven, slicked-back hair. It looked like he was squared up to fight with me. Just a face. No shoulders, no neck, no nothing. A face-to-face, 3 inches from my face. It was a flash, and then it was gone. It's the first time and only time I've ever jumped on an investigation, said a few expletives of what in the, you know, was that? And Jay, you know, knowing him, he gets excited of this stuff. And he's like, wait, what? Something touch you? What happened? And I pretty much just told him to shut up while my mind processed what was going on and what I just saw. You know, I tell everyone, if I had a forensic artist to this day, I guarantee you I could sketch that out, or well, have them, because I couldn't draw a stick man to save my life, but have them sketch that out. And I would still love to do that and be able to go back into the archives of inmates there and possibly match that up. You know, so that's probably one of the most exciting actual investigations I've ever been on. Not to have mentioned, you know, that whole time going in and out of that room, something kept slapping me in the back of the head. So, yeah, Ohio State Reformatory. I would suggest it to anybody. Look in this field.
Very cool. Jay, yours?
Yeah, you know, mine wasn't as crazy as all that. But, you know, one of them was actually just a normal house investigation here in Illinois. You know, a house built back in the 60s, sitting down in an old basement, an old room, almost 3 in the morning, you know. The adrenaline kicks off. It's not like TV. It's boring. You're ready to go to sleep. I'm in there by myself using my EMF meter, and somebody on the outside of the room was asking if I was moving in my side of the room. And, of course, I'm just sitting there just taking readings. And I kid you not, you know, from whether people say it on TV, Google, or whatever it was, it felt like just this freezing cold air just went straight through me and just electrified. I was static, you know, every hair on my body. I actually took pictures to document it, because I'm just sitting there looking at it like, yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, I mean, I wasn't scared or nothing was really hair raising at the time, but it was something paranormal that I've never experienced in my life. So that was definitely one of them. And that was, you know, just somebody calling up looking to validate the claims of their house. And, you know, again, it was just a personal experience. There was no video or really pictures of anything coming towards me. But whatever it was, you know, it touched me, or whatever it was, you know, just went right through my whole body, freezing cold. So that was definitely a really good one.
Fascinating experiences. It always seems like these things happen. The most exciting experiences, the most exciting occurrences happen when you're not expecting them to happen. Almost like when you're ill-prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just
even sitting down with homeowners. Actually, this was up in Elkhorn a couple of years ago. Alan and I met with, the people that called us up, with the husband and wife. We're sitting at the kitchen table. All of a sudden, there's a kennel behind us, and all of a sudden, there's this growl. And all four of us look over there, but the dog kennel was empty. It's kind of bizarre. Don't know what the heck that was. But again, that was before we turned on any audio, so we weren't able to capture that.
Hey, off topic. Seattle just won, by the way.
No, I know Lon's happy.
I just didn't want to say this would win.
He's so
That's
excited.
Exactly where I am.
It's not the Ravens. I don't care, to be honest with you.
Well, guys, we've come to the end of the program. We've got about 2 minutes left, so I just want to thank you both for stopping by and spending your Sunday night with us. We've got to get you back on again because there's still a lot more to talk about. And I want to get into some of your UFO investigations and more cryptid studies. And I got to know, guys, when are you coming to Pennsylvania to go Bigfoot with us out here?
Whenever you
get
sent out to us.
You're more than welcome anytime, guys. Let's try to set something up for this summer. Have you come out and camp with us for a weekend?
I would love it. Absolutely
Definitely.
Love it.
That'd be great.
I think we'd have a blast. So, all right, gentlemen, give out your website for us so people can get a hold of you and get in touch with you if they're in that Wisconsin area or Chicago, Illinois area, and drop you a line for any research or any activity that they might need investigated.
Yeah, you could just go to our website, www.wpihuntsthetruth.com, and on there you'll actually find you learn all about our team. You can request any type of investigation, give us any type of stories, leads that you may have, or just to pop to say hello. Both Alan and I are both on there on the contact page. You can also sign up for a bi-monthly newsletter at wpi.newsletter@gmail.com. That's also on the website. Fascinating little e-newsletter we put out. It's free. All you have to do is send an email in the subject line, just put subscribe, and every 2 months you'll get some updates on our team. We have guest authors on articles, really fascinating stuff.
Sounds like a great website to check out, folks. I've checked it out many, many times. There's a lot of good information there. Stop by and visit Jay and Alan and all the team. WPIHuntsTheTruth.com. Check it out. We'll leave it up on our website for a few days until we switch over to our next guest who will be on this coming Sunday night. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. And we got to make plans to get you back on the show with us again to talk more paranormal.
Hey, we can't wait.
Great. Thanks again.
Have a great night, guys.
Thanks, Lon. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Right, good night.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks.
All right, you too, and we end the evening on a high note, Lon, with Seattle winning. I know you were a little happier than San Francisco winning there.
Yeah. I got my reasons, so I'm not going to go beyond that.
Well, it's not the Ravens. I know you're a little disappointed in that, but it's not the Steelers either.
It was not the greatest season, but hell, they were in the playoffs 5 years in a row, so I can't ask for everything.
That's right. But great guest tonight with Jay and Alan from Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators joining us on the show. A lot of fun. Some really cool EVPs. I'll get you that email in the mail, Lon, so you can take a listen to it and see what you think. Sean?
I like their group. I tell you, there's not a whole lot of groups I will make a banner up and put on the website or on the blog. But their group, I like what they're doing. I like Jay a lot. And I have done that. And I do support them 100%. And, it's good to see these groups that are real serious about what they're doing. And they're just not out there for the sake of getting their name out there. But they do deserve some publicity and some acknowledgement to, so all the power to them. I really like what they do.
Yeah, I like what they do too, and I really respect the work that they do, and I wish a lot more of the groups out there had the same mindset and mind frame as these guys do, because we don't know what we're looking for out there. We don't know exactly what's out there, and we can't make assumptions. So it's better sometimes, I think, to play on the side of caution and answer, I don't know, or we don't know what this is, or I'm not going to speculate on what this is, and to try to find the truth. And a lot of groups, unfortunately, have lost that that attitude. So I applaud Jay and Alan and the guys over there and the girls over there at WPI for the work that they do. So my hat's off to those guys, and we're definitely going to keep in touch and continue to promote them and their work, and we'll get them back on later in the year.
Damn Skippy.
Damn Skippy. I like that.
Finally right. Back, electronic gremlins.
Yeah, Skype's been nasty tonight, and I blame the playoffs for that.
Yeah, well, that's probably what it is. It seems like every time there's a game. I know when the Steelers are on it Sunday nights, we usually have problems. Yeah. And, you know, it's just because of the location and the people that are listening. So, yeah, with a playoff, with a championship game, you know there's definitely going to be a lot of people on the system. So,
yeah,
I'm quite sure that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So we're sorry.
Good one. Good one. Well, we're just about out of time, guys. We've got about a minute left, and just enough time to throw out there our website address, beyondtheedgeradio.com, our email address, beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Lon's website address is phantomsandmonsters.com. Sean, your website for the Keystone Bigfoot Project?
KeystoneBigfoot.com.
There you go. And, of course, mine, ericaltman.net. Stop by, say hello. Drop us a comment, a question, a concern. We like hearing both positive and negative feedback. That way we can continue to improve. And next week on the show, guys, Scott Walton is back. We're going to be talking movies of 2014, the big year in review.
The big rear end review. What have we become?
I'm talking about you, the big rear end review. The big year in preview, I should say, for 2014. All the blockbuster movies coming out, and Scott has agreed to come back every other month as our BTE entertainment and pop culture correspondent, so we're glad to have Scott back with us, and he'll be back next Sunday night starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, as we talk about the movies upcoming for 2014.
Sounds good.
You bet.
All right, gents, we're heading out the door. Folks, thanks for tuning in tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you, all our listeners. We love you all. Thanks for supporting us, and thanks for listening to the Para X Radio Network. Until then, Sean and Lon, what do you say we call it a night?
See everybody next week.
Be safe, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Join us for another live edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network. Archive shows are available on Podomatic, Parapods, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Para X Radio Network, or our official website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. To contact Eric, Juan, or Sean, email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Beyond the Edge Radio is a Beyond the Edge entertainment production heard here on the Para X Radio Network.